With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Just another manic Monday, ladies and gents. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Romelu Lukaku beat up Arsenal and Harry Kane played for Spurs. It's Monday, 23rd of August. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Jim Campbell.
And I'm Vidushin Hundaraja.
Hello, everybody. It's the start of the working week and we're feeling fine, aren't we, Jimmy, baby?
Yeah, why not?
Vish, how you doing, big boy?
I'm doing very well, better than Jim. I'm concerned for Jim.
We're all
way.
Concerned. You don't need to be concerned for me. It's all right.
Jim, you were at the Emirates on the weekend.
I was.
Unlucked.
Yep, back to the stress bowl.
Should have come.
The anxiety dome.
Oh dear. Was it good to be back? It's been a while.
Genuinely, it was. Yeah. It's a weird thing, isn't it? Like, you go and see your team and they lose, but you still enjoy it because it was the football. It's like a weird relationship that you have. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not going to, like, go, like, you know, pretend I've gone home and, like, just shout it into a mirror.
It's like putting on an old jumper which has been ravaged by moths.
Yes. You know, it's not what it was, but it, despite itself, it keeps you warm.
I love that.
Gives you comfort.
I love that feeling when you put on an old jumper and you're like, oh, I didn't know I put that knife there. It's lovely, that, isn't it? Oh,
yeah,
that video on the Football Ramble Instagram, your face at the beginning was so sincere and so lovely and so just, you know, you're just beaming with genuine joy at being back.
Uh-huh. And then... Oh, the second couple of videos. The stark contrast, isn't it?
Yeah, well, at the end of the video, you're being recorded as you're walking away, and it generally looks like, you know, like an extension of the Richard Ashcroft video where you're just like going to lay into people who walk by you as you address the camera.
And as he walked off, his trousers fell down.
Yeah, that sort of vibe.
You should have come to Craven Cottage with me, Jim. It was a lovely old time.
And and there's a lot of similar stuff. The away fans sing, "This is a library."
Yeah.
Your support is...
Yeah.
All that kind of
the
stuff.
The home fans reply.
All the classics.
Yeah,
keep it down.
The home fans don't
have
even
some
know...
decorum.
Trying to work out where the swimming pool's going to be in the new stand. All that kind of stuff. Maybe next time, mate. But yes, Chelsea beat Arsenal 2-0, as if you didn't know. And a decade after his debut, Romelu Lukaku scored his first Chelsea goal as he and they rolled over Arsenal 2-0. Mm. I love the fact that Lukaku, if ever a player has meant business, business, do you know what I mean? Give us an assessment of your performance, and he just said dominant, I think. Dominant.
Yeah, he was fantastic.
He was.
I mean,
Thing is he didn't score more than one.
Yeah. I mean, they didn't really need to, though, did they? Which we'll come on to. But seeing him in the flesh is, we know that he plays with his back to goal a lot, but it's like he picks a defender and he just sort of backs into them.
Yeah.
Like, and it just takes that player out of the game. You know, he's going to try and roll the defender. It won't always work, but it's going to cause chaos when it does. And he's also such a good outlet. On the few occasions where Chelsea were under a little bit of pressure, if they could get the ball to him, even on the halfway line, he was just a complete pressure valve for that.
How do you defend against him,
brilliant
Fish?
Player.
That's what I want to know. Because if you remember the great Ronaldo, the phenomenon in his full pomp, and you think, how do you set up against a striker like that? A different type of player, I understand. I'm not saying that their style is like for like. But when you see Lukaku like that, you think, well, get bodies around him. Yeah, well, that leaves acres of room for the wing backs.
And yes, doesn't it just?
And the panic that he set in with the Arsenal side. I know it doesn't take much to spook this Arsenal team, but he really was. And a lot of defenders are going to be looking at that. A lot of managers are panicking, going, when are we playing them? How much prep do I need to do to try and stop this guy?
Yeah, definitely. Like, I did feel a bit bad for Pablo Mari, because what happened to him is going to happen to quite a few defenders before the season.
To single him out.
Yeah. He's just unfortunate enough that he's the first.
It's like singling out a soldier. You know, when an old Arnold Schwarzenegger film, when he goes and he destroys the whole of the, wherever they're from, the army, foreign army. And you think, well, that guy on the roof, he should have shot him.
No.
He's just mowed down about 300 of them.
You know? Imagine if that sequence in James Bond where they all shoot and miss him and one of them turns out, should have got him there, shouldn't you? She's gone for the head, idiot. Go for his feet, knob.
He's going to make hundreds of more movies now. All because of you, because you missed.
Why don't we just shoot him in the head instead of the laser up the Jaffers? Or should we just... There was, but like when Mary went through him with more than an hour to go.
I love that though. I love the...
Didn't it set the tone, Marcus?
I know.
Let him know you're there.
No, but to be
let
fair...
Let him know you're there and then let him know you're off.
He tried something.
Yeah.
To give him credit, he tried something. Of course it didn't work, but I like the fact that he had a go. He tried to mix it up.
Yeah. The way I saw that was when he picked up the first yellow card, the smartest thing he could do was then quickly pick up a second so he didn't have to do that anymore. But there was that, you know, you're spot on with obviously how Lukaku plays. And we talked about it out there that... You know, the defender who ends up going in touch tight to Lukaku is immediately taken out of the game, much in the same way that, you know, if you grab the mouth of a crocodile, there is a moment where you have to let it go. And then you're in big trouble.
Yeah.
But the other thing was that he doesn't just attract that defender. You know, Granit Xhaka had actually quite a solid start to the game when it was clear that they were trying to play with like a... But more or less like a back three with Xhaka dropping in and cutting the outlet, cutting essentially the passes into him. And I was like, that's probably quite a smart way of double teaming
him. You'll have to...
And then at the same time, I was like, while you're doing that to the most expensive Chelsea signing ever, the second most expensive Chelsea signing ever is literally standing free over there.
Yeah, yeah.
And Reece James.
Oh.
I mean, was he renting that space? It was like
unreal,
a monopoly board, and no one wanted to go near
it. It's Lukaku, isn't it? They're so frightened of giving him space.
That
space has to pop up somewhere else.
And what happened to Tierney?
The frustrating thing was, quite.
Tierney is a very, very good defender, and yet his brain just went all mushy because, again, of the threat.
Well, I think that he was perhaps wary of having too much ground to cover because they're all sort of frightened of what Lukaku's going to do in the middle, be that up against Mari or Holding, wherever Lukaku's deciding to make a nuisance of himself. And I think... it just didn't work, did it? It just it created an overload. I think it's easy to say after the fact, but I really think I should have started with a back three.
Yeah.
Again, I mean, as everyone should against a player like that, surely.
Well,
do you think Tierney and Cedric were, because they were, you could tell obviously they were, as soon as Lukaku got the ball, everyone got narrower. Do you think they were worried about the ball inside the fullback? Because, you know, Reece James had a brilliant game yesterday. It was a very different game to his better games last season, where he was actually quite far out on the touchline. There was a clear plan from Thomas Tuchel to, you know, use him as the
like
spare
a winger,
man. Yeah, exactly.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, he was given
very Trent Alexander-Arnold, wasn't it?
Yeah, but I would say very Danny Alves, vintage Alves sort of stuff. You know, in the terms of he just had that whole right side and he was flying up and down. He was given the keys to North London, of course. But I just, Reece James, I've said this last season, as a few people have, just he just looks the business.
Yeah, he does.
And he will get his chance in the England shirt. And I know there's a lot of, I know he played a little bit at the Euros and so on. And there's a lot of competition there. But he just what a magnificent player. Mm. And I know there was that time when he perhaps should have crossed the ball to Lukaku a little bit earlier and so on. But the way he plays, the confidence he has, the stature of him, the body language, the touch, the spatial awareness, the ability, the way he finished as well, the whole body language of those Chelsea players, knocked it out, bang, and the way they celebrated it, this is a team that means business.
Oh,
as
without
I say.
A doubt.
There's the intensity there. They've got it all. I can't sort of talk highly enough of them. And as I say, the only disappointing thing was that they didn't add to the two-goal tally.
Disagree, but I think what's important to remember as well is, like, there's been a really, really hysterical reaction to this result, as you expect from you know, the narrative around Arsenal that you get more on the internet than from the media.
It's almost like it pays really well.
It is, isn't it? It's like you are seeing, like, auditions for Arsenal's next hysterical fall, like every time they like something seemingly calamitous happens, but they're the champions.
So it's like
of
Britain's
Europe.
It's like Britain's Got Talent, but it's all just like the first week of Britain Got Talent.
Exactly. Yeah. It's just the embarrassing ones.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're all self-taped.
And do you feel like you're Simon Cowell?
No, I don't want anything to do with it anymore.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Exactly.
Yeah, so I think, like, this is a Champions of Europe yeah. plus one of the best strikers in the world. Arsenal are obviously missing a lot of players as well, and it's not as bad as it's being made out by any stretch. Now the problem is, it almost feels like Arsenal weren't particularly, like, calamitous. It's not like they shot themselves in the foot a lot. It's obviously leaving that space for James is a big, big oversight, but they were basically just second best in every position. Mm. And Chelsea didn't really need to get out of second gear, but it shows you how good they are.
Are you saying on another day?
I'm not saying on another day that, you know, like, or we'd have given them what for, and I think they know that.
Would you?
But I don't think these are the games that are going to define this season for Arsenal. It's going to be another supposed season of transition. They're obviously not going to get near the top four. You've got to look at that squad. I do think it's a better squad than it was this time last season, but which isn't saying a huge amount. There's loads of problems with it. They've got four right backs, but no right back somehow.
Were you doing any of the booing at half time?
Of course not. How dare you even ask me that?
The one thing about, you know, just to touch on what you said there about, like, obviously, yeah, you're right, it wasn't calamitous. But you know how, you know, good teams win the same way with different players in the starting 11. The one thing I thought about that result yesterday, well, two things. The first was it looked like a 4-0, and that all, in a way made it worse because it didn't need to be a 4-0 to see these issues. And the second thing was, you know, Arsenal do have a lot of absentees. Even Aubameyang coming on in the second half, he's had issues with illness.
COVID as well. And Ben White has COVID. They keep saying illness. I don't know why they're not saying COVID.
Yeah, exactly. But then, even with all those absentees, they still lose the same way?
Yeah, I think that's the trouble. I think this is sort of seeped into them, isn't it? I mean, Bakary Sagna wasn't happy, and he was speaking to RMC. He said
maybe
DNA.
Get him back.
Yeah, get him in there. The DNA of the club is gone.
He's a right back.
Yeah. I was like, you stick to Man City issues, pal. but the DNA of the club is gone. And I disagree with him. This is the DNA of the club, and it has been for some time.
It's mutated.
You compare that to.
It's what, with the Kroenke. You know,
sure.
Gene has come in.
Indeed. But you compare.
Two first cousins.
You compare Manchester United and Arsenal in that, you know, sort of the Ferguson and Wenger. Now, I know, again, different coaches and different success rates,
needs.
If you like. But after Ferguson left, there's a sort of a scramble for Manchester United to try and find that sort of winning feeling again. Mm. And they got in some big hitters, obviously. Now under Solskjaer, it's going slightly better perhaps now than what it was. With Arsenal, it's kind of like, well, we just don't want to rock the boat. Just more of the same. Let's just glide along. And, yeah. And I mean, to me, if I was anybody in that Arsenal board, I would be making French kissy faces at Antonio Conte.
Well, it's interesting, isn't it? Because I would be very, very surprised if they were to sack Arteta this quickly after backing him so heavily in the transfer market. And obviously, there's been a lot of talk of like trusting in the process and stuff like that. But he's been in the job for a while now, and long enough to see if he's a manager who's good at improving players. And there are players like Rob Holding, he's improved, Callum Chambers a bit. I mean, obviously the young players like Saka and Smith Rowe, like, got to be some credit there. But generally speaking,
well, Jim, let me read it.
It's not
to you.
Overly, you know,
a 20th defeat in 60 Premier League games, lost more games in 20 months than Wenger did in his last 6 years.
Yeah, it's quite damning, isn't
yeah.
it? Quite damning.
So are you going to boo now?
No, okay. I will never boo. Conte's unrealistic though, isn't it? He's not gonna come in and do much for that squad apart from shout at them.
No point in asking a question then, is there?
The
real two things that I want to point out about Bernd Leno is wearing the outfield away kit in goal, mm-hmm. which is quite nice. And secondly, that save against Lukaku, we're going to forget about it.
It's an incredible save. Lukaku's reaction was great as well.
Did he get a touch on that?
Yeah, but I was really surprised. Like, how? I mean, maybe that shows how fast football moves at that level, but Lukaku headed the ball towards Leno from 6-7 yards out and wasn't sure if he saved it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing with Lukaku, you know, absolutely phenomenal. We should have scored that, but yeah. I think the goals will be flowing. Yeah. And Chelsea haven't had a goal scorer, a proper goal scorer in centre forward for a couple of seasons or a few seasons now. So he'd be...
Can I just say, though, about Leno wearing the away kit, I mean, how many kit launches have there been in the last year alone, and have they just forgot to make a goal?
That's what it is, isn't it? And what struck me about it was how it didn't really look out of place. You would think that would seem really, really weird, but it didn't, which was a bit disappointing, to be honest.
That's it. What is he? What, you know, how far is this going to go? Is he going to? Oh, he's wearing some Adidas Gazelles now in goal. And it's like, well, why? Why are you doing this?
But we're going to dress you like a lemon, like a big lemon, to see how that affects your confidence.
Yeah, I think that would be good. I mean, to compare again the two sides, Chelsea brought on in the second half N'Golo Kanté and Hakim Ziyech.
Yeah, I did there audibly groan when Kanté came on.
Yes,
I don't think that counts as a boo, but that's probably the closest they would
have got. It felt like bullying. Didn't it? They're already tired. Leave them alone.
And also to hammer home the point, Tammy Abraham impressed on his Roma debut. The striker that Chelsea were like, we don't really need him. We'll send him off. Just get up to instrumental in their 3-1 against Fiorentina. Yeah. Well done, Tammy. So there we are, Jim. Mm.
Annoyingly as well. Apparently, Arsenal had agreed personal terms with Tammy Abraham. He was really keen, but Chelsea were like, nah.
Yeah. I think that would have been such a good fit as well.
Agree.
There we are. Gentlemen, we move on to Southampton 1, Manchester United 1. Manchester United equaled Arsenal's unbeaten away run in the Premier League. And what a way to do it, Vish.
It says a lot that you mention Arsenal and Manchester United in the same breath. And I was like, well, isn't that bad? And then I remembered,
Different game, different team, different time.
So very, very different times.
Vish, I feel that Man United should have gone on to win this game. I think everyone does. And I'm now going to take the approach that people take to me when Arsenal don't get a good result. Mm. What are you personally doing about that?
Yeah, why didn't they fish?
You're playing the part of Luke, aren't you?
Yeah. Playing the part of Luke and the internet.
It was weird because they responded really well at the start of the second half, and it was almost like scoring the equaliser took the wind out of their own sails.
Yeah, well, they've got as long as they got to the end of the game and didn't lose it, then they would equal that record. And I think that's what was playing on.
Do you think they're holding on to it?
Yeah, right, lads. Nothing stupid now.
No, get rid of it. Bruno, just get rid of it.
It was like the Invincibles towards the end of the season. That's fine. I think that's what it was. Harry Maguire caught dawdling on the ball.
Dawdling?
Yeah. He was having a little dwindly dawdle, and he was caught out, wasn't he?
He was sleepy, dopey, and bashful at the same time.
Very much so, yeah, very much so, and wasn't happy. And Southampton obviously scored. I mean, Armstrong had a chance to.
He should have scored that, shouldn't he?
And it would have been nice because obviously he's made the jump to the Premier League.
It wouldn't have been nice, would it?
Yes, it would have. All right, Jim. I like seeing Southampton beat Manchester United because it reminds me of the glory days of 3-1, that Man United grey kit and the 6-3 and so on.
Did you see the sign that one of the Southampton fans made?
Go on.
We preferred you when you were in grey.
Nice. Big WWE vibe to that. Yeah. More of that, please.
Yeah, yeah. But Man United, they did get out of there with a point, and Mason Greenwood got the goal.
He did, yeah. He's you know, with obviously the Lukaku thing, I mean, he was never coming back, but it did, you know, there was a lot of talk that United will think about, you know, bringing in a striker. We're certainly looking for a contingency plan beyond Edinson Cavani. I actually thought Abraham would have been a sneaky little deal there, yeah. But I don't think they would have done business together. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you look at Greenwood, and it's, you know, it's a, I suppose it's an unfortunate contrast when you compare him to Martial, who was on the other wing, who looked pretty listless. I can't remember who, I think it was Musa Kwanga of Stadio, you know, the other football podcast. He made a great point that he, you know, being a striker is an office job. You need to be committed to it. You need to go in and out work every day, regardless of whether you have bad days or good days. Mm-hmm. Got to keep going back. But Martial wants to be a freelancer. He does it. He wants the good bits of being out wide and being in the middle. Mm-hmm. But he's not willing to, I suppose, have
might
the quiet
I, might
days.
Might I correct or his analogy? When you say it's an office, he means that he's a member of staff.
Yeah. Sorry, that's my bastardizing of
yeah,
quite
don't,
a good line.
Do,
yeah.
Don't do him a disservice.
Basically, I've made a career out of that.
And but, you're very welcome on the round. Yeah.
but it's quite interesting because Greenwood just, and I suppose he has the benefit of youth on his side as well, but he's gone back to how he was 2 seasons ago while maintaining a maturity about his movement and things like that. And it's great to see. There's still a huge issue in midfield that obviously they're not going to address given the amount of money they've already handed out
that
in transfers.
That bloody Paul Pogba you're talking about. Yeah.
He gave the ball away once and I thought, oh, he's done that again.
What about Fred?
Didn't watch
chipping
the goal.
In at the wrong end.
Fred, man. Oh.
That was so unlucky. Poor old Fred.
I feel like despite Fred being that player, that lightning rod player that every team has, he always looks like he's just having the time of his life.
Jim, can I say
and
right?
I can't help but love that about him.
Yeah, Arsenal need a sort of that sort of defensive midfielder. Next summer they're signing Fred. There's no doubt
Imagine.
About that.
Oh, yeah. Well,
that's Arsenal signing written all over.
Yeah, we'll bring up the Silvestre agreement.
Yeah.
Get him sent down, yeah. Fred is... you know what? I have a lot of affection for Fred. I think I've said it before, but like a confident Fred is a very dangerous thing because he'll do something very well. He'll have a really good 10 minutes and then he'll take a right-footed shot from 30 yards. Yeah. And you're like, why? I mean, like, I want you to enjoy yourself. Mm. Maybe not here, though. Yeah.
I think in that situation, it'd be better if Paul Pogba would pick him up and like use him as a golf club.
That would be more effective, wouldn't it? Yeah.
It would. What about the young right-back for Southampton, Livramento, who was named Man of the Match? He had a great game. And considering how good Kyle Walker-Peters was last season as well, they're quite well equipped in that area, it would appear. Ralph, I love this, Hasenhüttl was sort of trying to lower the hype around him, and he said, I'm happy he took the decision to come to us. It's always difficult to get one of the best talents in England. Well, there's your hype. So you've got now. Yeah. So then he sort of looks around and thinks, oh, yeah, but don't hang him high. Don't hang him too high, if you get the picture. Keep it calm. I know how quick people are starting to lift him, but there is no need.
I was quite impressed with Ralf Hasenhüttl, actually. I really did. I basically have him down as the first manager to go this season. Mm. But I thought his tactical changes, you know, took the game away from Manchester United for a period of time. And also, you know, even little things like dropping Carl Walker-Peters for Livramento kind of spoke of someone who, you know, sometimes you see managers when they're in that struggle and they just stick with the names that took them to their upward trajectory. And I think it's probably a good sign that he's not afraid to cast out big names.
Mm. Well, and yeah, but they're going to need it, aren't they? Because they haven't had the best of starts. But that point is very encouraging for Southampton, no doubt. Gentlemen, I'd like to end the first half with Liverpool versus Burnley, if I may. A sort of fairly routine win. A lot of people talking about Burnley's lineup of 4-4-2, but they lined up with the numbers 1-11. Now, I used to be, years ago, I used to be precious about this. And now I don't mind, because I quite like it when a squad number comes synonymous with a player. You think of, was Beckham 32 at Real Madrid? Something like
23,
that.
Wasn't it?
23, sorry, get me numbers mixed up. You know, I quite like it when you can have that sort of thing. But it was quite nice to see the 1-11 vision. And they were all in the correct places. Number four is a central midfielder. Yes. 7 and 11 yeah. are on the wings, and they got the right with 7 as the right winger. They've really thought about
if
that.
If anyone was going to do it, it's going to be Burnley, isn't it? Like,
British numbers for British players.
Yes. There is something charmingly old world about that sort of stuff. There's a friend of mine called Jay Foreman, who's a musical comic, and he has a song called "Where Do You Get Your Food From, Grandma?" which is just about how, like, where on earth do grandparents get all this weird food that only seems to exist in, like, in old person cupboard land? Mm. And I feel like that about Burnley. Like, where do you... What's a Josh Brownhill? Where do you find these men? Where do you get these players?
Half-time Tunnock's tea cakes.
Yeah.
That sort of thing.
I know what you mean. Yeah, you read that lineup and you're like, is this conscription? Is that what this is? Is this your Chris Wood? The you talked about being a bit of a throwback. Certainly Jurgen Klopp seemed to think that a lot of what Burnley were doing was a bit of a throwback. I'm not a massive fan of Burnley shaming, shall we put it, in terms of, like,
I'm not shaming them at all.
No, you're not. But you know, they were talking about, there's a lot of chat about wrestling, and I love wrestling.
Yeah.
I think they know where the limits are. They push them as well as they can.
I think
there was a couple of body slams in there. They were legitimately a couple of body slams.
Yeah. The ref didn't see that, though. It's fine.
No, it's fine.
A couple of chair shots when no one's looking is all right, isn't it?
Yeah,
is that
absolutely.
What Klopp was moaning about with VAR? It didn't pick up. I think it was a lot of moaning from managers over the weekend about refs and VAR.
Solskjaer moaned like hell as well.
I know, and I thought to myself, because the players, I think they say on the pitch, the referees have said since VAR, the players are sort of going, are you chair? Oh, you have? All right, okay. Yeah. So they can't, you know. Whereas the managers haven't really sort of got that memo, have they? And it's sort of still kind of carrying on. You can kind of understand, but
it will never get to a point where managers don't mind.
It will never get unless Klopp gets to referee at one half and then Dyche the other. Maybe that's the way forward. That the manager.
I mean, that is genuinely a brilliant idea.
Yeah. I'd love that. Much. What a contrast in styles as well.
Email show@footballramble.com for more affirmation on that idea.
Because it will mean that Mike Dean eventually becomes a football manager.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
So, there's an actual ref to referee the team whose manager is refereeing.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, true. But Liverpool, though, Harvey Elliott looked good, didn't he?
Yeah.
He looks a player. More of that, please, Harvey. But Liverpool, I think people have sort of slightly forgotten about Liverpool. I think there's a lot of chat about Chelsea, as we've just displayed, and understandably so. Obviously, Manchester City, Grealish now among the goals. Pep wants him to get some more. So those two are the big two people are talking about. Liverpool... I've not lost anybody. Ronaldo will be a bit of a loss, but obviously Van Dijk's back in there. I mean, surely it's a three-way title race. People often talk about Man City and Chelsea.
I actually think you might have to throw Man United in there this season as well. I think we might have a bit of a ding-dong. Yeah. But I think because it cannot go understated how what a disaster it was for Liverpool to essentially lose their entire defence last season and still roar back into the Champions League places. So I think you're right. Yeah,
and with people saying, you know, fans coming back in stadiums making a difference and whatnot, you would say one of the sides who will surely benefit for the most of that would be Liverpool.
Mm.
You know, so there we are, everybody. You heard it here first. Liverpool could win the league this year. Let's have a quick break.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Hi, I'm Dion Dublin, and when I'm not banging my tube, I'm listening to the Football Ramble.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Right, let's see how we got on in Betway's 4 to Score. Entry to Betway's 4 to Score is free each week. Pick the first goal scorer in Betway's 4 selected matches for your chance to win that weekly £50,000 jackpot. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game. Further T's and C's apply in Game 1. Southampton versus Manchester United, I picked Bruno Fernandes. Because the opener was an own goal, it passes to the next goal scorer, which was, of course, Mason Greenwood. So I got it wrong, Jim.
You did.
Game 2, Wolves versus Spurs. Vishu picked Raul Jimenez. Of course, the result was Dele Alli. Got it wrong. Game 3, Arsenal versus Chelsea. Jim had the chance to pick an Arsenal player. He chose not to. He wisely chose Romelu Lukaku. It was, of course, Romelu Lukaku.
So, yeah, it's a win in a way.
It is. In Game 4, West Ham versus Leicester City. Luke picked Jamie Vardy. The result, of course, there. Playing tonight. So there we are. We'll be back for another round of 4 to Score on the preview show this Friday. All right, it's time for emails.
Peter's jingle had a good run. We loved it once, but that love's gone. You can get in touch, just email show at footballramble.com.
I have the email from Brian Summers, who's been getting in touch over the last week complaining about the standard of goalkeeping.
It's a passionate man.
I don't care what you say. If that ball comes within kissing distance, two Man City goals, bloody awful. Good goals, my Aunt Fanny. So I don't really know what to do with that email. Yeah, sometimes goalkeepers don't save shots they should save. I don't really know what the solution is, though.
I don't know. Yeah, just try hard. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what we do, Brian.
Should we sign them up to Burnley so they experience the front line?
We can't. I don't think we can lobby for the removal of goalkeepers, which seems to be what he wants. Mm. But
nice,
we are.
Nice to hear about someone else's aunt.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
I assume Aunt Fanny's giddy. But there we are, Brian. We hope you get the help you need, which is... somehow removing goalkeepers. Finally, there's got to be a league somewhere in the world where they do that, I think. Well, show at footballramble.com, everybody. Now then, Spurs beat Wolverhampton Wanderers 1-0. Good win for Nuno Espirito Santo. For a minute there, I was thinking, which one is he? Oh, yeah, he is a Spurs man. They beat Bruno Lage. We saw Harry Kane play some football for Spurs in that lovely Spurs.
I've heard a lot about him. He sounds like he's got a promising future. Hopefully, get a few more minutes.
Maybe. Maybe. Nice. What about that Spurs kit he was
Michael
wearing?
Ricketts, mate.
Jim, I'm asking you about that Spurs kit.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, excellent.
It looks like resin art.
Yeah. Okay.
Is that a dig or is it?
No, I like it. It's good. I think more weird kits, frankly. Mm. What else about Spurs do you like?
That's it.
Okay, fair enough.
Are you jealous of their DNA?
No.
Jealous of their
DNA?
You're jealous of their clean sheets and their points?
I'm not jealous of their empty trophy cabinet.
If you're going to push me to it, it's all we want.
Boo them. Boo them, Jim.
But do you respect Spurs fan TV? Harry came on for the last 20 minutes. Could have scored, Vish. He didn't. It was a good save. And I found it funny when it was like, he got a decent reception. It's like, well, yeah.
No, I think that's good. I think that's very mature from the Tottenham fans. They want him to stay, don't they, obviously? So they're not going to go,
there, you knob!
Yeah, but
stay, you prick!
No, but it just sort of didn't surprise. I thought you would get a decent reception, I think. But anyway.
Especially from away fans who, because they've made the travel up, I think they're less inclined to be so fickle about it.
Just give Spurs fans a bit more credit, everybody, I think, is what I'm trying to say. What about Dele Alli, Vish? Good to see him back looking confident again and so on. Well, he won the penalty.
I would say he won the penalty. He made sure there was contact, but it was a penalty.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And the way he was like, right, I'm having that, bang, and tucked it. Wow, I thought, come on, pal. You forget what a player Dele Alli was. I mean, we hark back to the Russia World Cup, but he was there starting for England. It wasn't that long ago where he had a season where, what did he get, 18 goals in the league, I think, which was...
I mean, at that point, we thought he was going to be like a Gerard Lampard-style player arriving from deep, getting you that many goals a season.
Totally, because only Lampard and Yaya Toure have scored more in a Premier League season than him.
That's amazing. Oh,
wow. If you think about that, you know, that's how good he was, linking with Kane.
Yeah.
Then, you know, again, what a player. And so it's good to see him playing football again. Mourinho's gone.
Yeah.
And could this be a sort of a Luke Shaw kind of effect with Dele Alli, you know?
Mourinho goes and he thrives.
Yeah.
I mean, there's maybe a bit of that.
But I can't blame it all on Mourinho. Look, players have personal lives. I don't know if there is anything, but I'm just saying that, you know, people have ups and downs and so
but
on.
But also, if you've got a point to prove and you're then given the environment in which to prove that with very little pressure in comparison, then those are great conditions in which to thrive, right?
Yeah, I agree. I think it is really nice seeing him back playing, and I suppose not just playing, but starting games as well. He doesn't quite look like the Dele Alli of old, because the Dele Alli that I remember when he was playing regularly, when he was having that good season, his touch and the way he thought about space, for example,
seemed automatic almost.
Yeah, it was kind of up there with some of the best players in the league. Like, he would have a way of, you know, almost like a Pogba-like way of turning players or getting past them by walking,
yeah,
rather than, you know, having to knock the ball past them and chase after it. It's touched, you know, it's not quite as silky as it was.
Funny, isn't it, how some players, like, they're kind of fearless when they're young, and a bit of maturity takes something away from their game.
Oh, yeah, definitely, yeah. But I wonder, actually, I mean, it is such a shame that, you know, if Kane does go, then, you know, it was Kane and Alli, and then it was Kane and Son, and you kind of think, God, if you've got those three together firing, then it kind of, you can really fill in around them and have a really, you know, strong top five, top six team there. But yeah, it'd be interesting to see how far it goes. I wonder how much license he's going to get long term under Nuno, if this is maybe an example of, like, because we're not playing with a recognised striker, we want you to go a bit further forward. But if they have someone up there, is he going to be a bit more withdrawn because he doesn't do that particularly well, I suppose. But yeah. No, promising start, yeah.
What about that piece of skill from Bergwijn down the left? Do you see that?
Yeah.
Little roll over and go, oh my God, I've not seen feet that quick since the original Ronaldo himself. Yeah. Absolutely glorious.
Actually, Bergwijn's another interesting one, isn't he, for Spurs? Because I think Dele Alli is a bit of a Rubik's Cube to solve for Nuno. And you would think, you know, that given the quality of Alli, he would want to put some time into solving that. But Bergwijn as well, he's a player, like, his finishing can be, it's like he lacks confidence in it, but he's really, really good at getting himself chances.
Yeah.
If you can just add a bit of composure to him, you've got a really, really good player on your hands there.
Yeah. I have to say, with regards to all this Kane stuff, I just think to myself, like, I know that Raul Jimenez has obviously had his sort of fitness issues and all that kind of stuff for obvious reasons. But I'm always of the mind, if a player really wants to go sell him for a massive, great profit, could they have done worse than getting, you know, a striker who likes to bring in other players, and so someone like a Jimenez, or, as I said to you before the show, like, sell him and then start a fire sale at Barcelona? I don't know. Like, if you slap 80 million on the table and go, can we have Griezmann? I'm pretty sure Barcelona would be like, yeah, you probably can, actually.
No, I don't know, because they simply won't accept their circumstances, will they?
I know what you mean.
Yeah,
though.
Anyway. But it's a funny one. So, I mean, you would think that They're deadly serious about not selling Kane, aren't they? Which is going to make the end of the transfer window really fascinating.
Well, Man City have to do their bit and actually stump up the cash.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah. I don't know. Gentlemen, there was a very intense, entertaining game at Elland Road, which finished Leeds 2, Everton 2. Full house at Elland Road. For the first time since 2004, of course, in the Premier League, we've seen this. And it really did add to it. When that first Leeds goal went in, the scenes of absolute bedlam behind the goal. Lovely little nudge from Bamford and a good finish from Klitsch. But it was good to see Elland Road rocking like that.
Yeah. It's weird to me that Leeds being back in the Premier League has been entirely without fans.
I know.
My mind won't join the dots together on that.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I do get that.
The game in recent history that sums up modern Elland Road was actually a game, like a high-profile game they lost. It was the Championship semi-final, that second leg against Derby County.
Oh, yes.
Where Jack Marriott comes on to Derby and ends up kind of makes a malplayer of that game as well. Obviously, Lampard was Derby coach. But it felt like such a throwback. You know when you watch footage of old games and it feels like the fans are like falling onto the pitch?
Yeah.
There's so many of them. It was like that. And you kind of think that, yeah, such a shame that they weren't able to witness not just coming back, but also the promotion, you've got to remember, from the Championship. So, yeah, it'd be, you know, they're going to have some incredible nights there. I mean, Edinburgh Knights are one of a kind, yeah.
Well, Tony Bowen knows that, doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
But I did think, though, that you take all that into account, Dominic Calvert-Lewin obviously tucked his penalty away, then, like, gave it a bit to the fans, didn't he? Damari Gray also had a little sort of...
Lukaku and Reece James were right in the Arsenal fans'
faces.
Yeah,
there was quite a lot of that over the weekend.
There's been no one to shush for the last,
you
know, 18 months.
Yeah. But Calvert-Lewin did manage to keep his cool despite that sort of fat man showing his belly off and rubbing it. Did you see that behind the goal?
Yeah, a jiggle might put you off. So yeah.
Do you remember the bloke who got his penis out in the Euro 2012?
Yeah, his penis was seen. Yeah.
Yeah, I had to Google that again today, and I found the Deadspin article, which described it as the sad English penis.
Yeah, no vicious terminology there, ladies and gentlemen. I had to Google that again. Just had to.
Incognito mode? Or
No, I'm proud of it.
Didn't have a choice in the matter.
First thing, you type in A, sad penis, straight away on the browser.
True enough. What about Damari Gray, though, Vish? Nice to see him looking happy.
Yeah, it is. So he's 25, as is Dele Alli.
Funny, isn't it?
Two players who you'd think, who I suppose... You kind of think of a lost cause more so than Damari Gray. That's a personal point of view. I thought Damari Gray had kind of come and gone. But by being 25, still young, I suppose we would say that in this room, but they've had generations of players overtake them. Yep. And I don't just mean internationally or their respective clubs. I just kind of mean across Europe. Mm, you know, Gray going to Leverkusen was a good move. Obviously, he had his struggles with injury. But you look around, you know, around Europe and you think of where he might go and you're like, well... You're going to have to take a step down. So, yeah, it was really, really exciting to see him.
He's always shown flashes.
He has. I quite like the fact that he wasn't afraid to go both sides of the fullback. Yeah. I think a lot of time he's been on the left and tried to cut in all the time. Yeah.
But he was brilliant, though. And I think sometimes that Rafa Benitez, it's not very boring, it's a bit formulaic and so on. But he has shown that he's managed, you know, some sort of flairy players as well. Yeah. But actually, maybe a player like Damari Gray needs that. He needs a lot of structure.
Yeah.
And within that structure, go and do your thing.
Yeah.
And the way he's, you know, crossing the ball and Calvert-Lewin, he'll bloody love that. I mean, he perhaps should have scored more than one in the game. You know, a striker of his standard would have perhaps been a touch disappointed. Mm. That bodes very well for Everton. It didn't win the game, of course, but it does bode well. It also bodes well that Yerry Mina might have a good old go at Lukaku when they face them. I don't think he'll win that one, but he certainly tried to bully Patrick Bamford the whole game, didn't he?
Yeah.
He's a bit of a shithouse, Yerry Mina.
Yeah,
I mean,
he was a huge shithouse against England, wasn't he? I know we're going back a long way.
Oh, and against Argentina as well. Did you see Messi giving him some in the penalty shootout in the Copa America?
It's great.
I know.
It's what you want.
We do want a bit of that. What was quite nice, though, is that Rafa Benitez and Marcelo Bielsa were in a very deep conversation after the game. My goodness, what an intense football chat that
old
have been.
Nerds.
Yeah.
That is, isn't it? Old football nerds. It's like the Guardiola Tuchel of a previous generation.
Would be that Spider-Man meme.
Yeah.
Do you think that's what it was?
It's one of those things you look at and be like, oh, you know what? That is lovely to see. I bet they're having a fascinating chat. And then if you're there, you're like, you know what?
Yeah.
I might shoot off, actually.
Yeah, absolutely.
This has been great for half an hour, but just put the salt shaker down.
Do the old Thomas Tuchel, I've really got somewhere better to make it. Yeah.
Can we have a moment of frothing ourselves for Rafinha's finish?
We certainly can. We certainly can.
I thought that Rafinha might move on this summer because he generally likes a move, doesn't he? He's not stayed in one place for very long and he stops very high. But I think Leeds have... whatever they've done to keep him, if indeed they've needed to do anything, has clearly been done well because he is just such a joy to watch.
He is. What a finish as well. Pickford at fault? what a finish, though, it was. And I think that was quite an important point for Leeds, actually, because I think with the home fans, who was it that spoke? It was Nuno himself, I think, spoke about that sort of feel-good factor. We suppose, obviously, kind of went when they played in the Europa Conference League, but they got a win, of course, against Wolves. But I think... to have Elland Road back in the Premier League as it was, and to not lose the game and to finish on that note, if you see what I mean. I think Again, how important is that in the grand scheme of things? But certainly in the short term, I think that was quite a lift that he gave everybody.
Yeah,
and he's the kind of player who he needs an audience, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Like some of the things he does, like it's you know, I suppose a credit to Bielsa and the system he has at Leeds that a player like that can still thrive. Mm-hmm. He's almost like a functional roaming player. And his left foot, I mean, like he could, you know, he could use it to stroke my hair and tell me everything's going to be okay. Like it's such a, I love him so much.
You do need that regularly.
I do actually,
Yeah, especially against Yerry Mina.
Yeah.
One of those foot guys, huh? Do that on incognito mode?
No, don't.
Or are you proud of that as well?
No, I'm going to start getting the Instagram messages that Kate and Jules get. Yeah. Why, don't say that.
Sorry, I don't think you will.
Stop it, everyone. Stop it, those men.
Gentlemen.
Stop doing that.
Yeah. Let us also, when I say gentlemen, I want to include every man. But yes, we move on to Aston Villa 2, Newcastle United 0. Danny Ings's goal. Come on. That's what it's all about, Jimmy. Yeah.
What a finisher he is. Mm-hmm. It is just instinctive, isn't it?
Yeah,
absolutely love it.
Yeah, man, but how can that be instinctive?
I know, right.
Yeah. As if, like, you know, some of them serve the sleigh trips and they just just do a double backflip.
I'll just put my foot where my head normally is. Yeah. Like, just in a split second. Just brilliant.
Another player Spurs could have signed.
Well, yeah, I mean, we could do that all day, though, couldn't we?
We could do it until lunchtime, I think.
Fair enough.
But yes, a brilliant goal. Watching match of the day would see this when he asked about the long throw routine. And he said, well, I don't want to give it away. And it was just a long throw on Mings to Ings, and then it went in. And it's like, if you're planning on doing that overhead kick sort of business every week, I take my hat off to you. But it didn't seem that hard to work out. Unless there is some secret formula here, Vish, that we're all missing.
No, I mean, it's quite nice. It's, you know, obviously it happened against Arsenal when Brentford did it in the opening game of the season. And it was
you're right, it's undefendable.
Yeah, it's true. But there's
big man flick on.
Yeah, I quite like it.
Uh-huh. But it's not like, oh, I don't want to give it away. It's like you just chucked it to the big man and he flicked it on.
And then at the same time, I was like, well, he flicks it on and I have overhead kick it in. Simple.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, just like that, yeah. And I like the idea that someone's going to try and mimic it and completely fuck up, and it probably will be Arsenal.
I quite like Dean Smith's comments about Ings. He said, well, we've seen him score a 20-yarder in the top corner against us last year, so we certainly know the type of goals he can score. And I love that, right? Get him. Sign him. That's a good way to do business, really, isn't it? He can score spectacular ones, and he's already doing it.
My brother, who's a Newcastle fan, maintains that the only reason they signed Ryan Taylor, the right-back from Wigan, is because he kept scoring free kicks against Newcastle. Just to stop him from doing that.
That is good. Gold medal man, Douglas Luiz, gave a very cool, calm and assured display in front of Villa's back four. And you saw him in the flesh. You were impressed with how he looks and how he is, but he's a decent player. He's been playing well for Villa, and I think they're going to be fine this season. We'll talk about Grealish going, but they've bought some good signings. They've kept some. Well, they've pretty much kept everybody, haven't they? Apart from Grealish, I think they'd be on a good one. They were great to watch last year.
Yeah, definitely. They just, you know, they've obviously have to change the way they play slightly, because I think of that front four, if we include, like, you know, three up top and the one behind, only El Ghazi was there last season.
Yeah,
in terms of like what would be their starting 11. So yeah, obviously there's going to be a natural bedding in period. Mm-hmm. You're right about Luiz though. Like he's such a silky operator.
Yeah,
and I wonder if Manchester City. I don't think he's quite at that level yet. But I wonder if they have a buyback clause.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Hopefully not.
Because it's good that he's playing regularly and we get to watch him. But,
yeah, you don't want a Southampton-Liverpool dynamic setting in with Villa and Man City, do you?
But that is how, like, I think it's frustrating for Villa, isn't it? Because when Man City were building their empire, it wasn't, you know, like, it wasn't the teams right at the top they targeted. It was Everton and it was Villa and it was the teams just above them. So they sort of climbed just above them using their players. So I think they'll be having nightmares, worrying that might happen again.
Indeed. Not as many nightmares about than Steve Bruce is having about refereeing decisions, but you know, there we are. Just again, manager moans about VAR, etc.
Do another phone in.
Yeah. When all said and done though, chaps, it was a great weekend of footballing action in the Premier League. Before we move on to some Florida-based chat, Marseille versus Nice in Ligue 1.
Yeah.
Absolute chaos.
Yeah, if anyone missed this, the fans had been pelting Marseille players with bottles and things, like whenever they got up that end of the pitch in the second half. and Dimitri Payet just had enough of it. Mm. He ended up throwing one back at one point as well. Yeah, and like just it all kicked off. The fans got onto the pitch. Like there were like the actual fist fights breaking out. Like mm-hmm. Sam Pauli got involved. And I mean, he's been wearing those short sleeves for a long, long time. Yeah. And Chekhov's guns have finally gone off. Like, like absolute madness.
There was all sorts of running battles, wasn't there, across involving everybody. But yeah, like the escalation going on there was just, it was crazy.
It was really something to see the fans spill out onto the pitch in that kind of mood.
The advertising hoarding getting like ripped to pieces, even though it's like a digital one. It was like really bizarre.
Wow. Uh-huh, yeah.
Yeah, that was very concerning. I hadn't like heard anything about it, you know, as it was happening last night. And I just saw someone post a video and I could make out Dimitri Payet. I was like, oh, he's probably done something amazing. Yeah. Not amazing, no.
No. Yeah, madness there. So I'm sure there'll be a lot of fallout today and this week about how punishments and so on and so forth there. But yeah, blimey O'Reilly. Anyway, let's finish the show with something a little bit more positive. We go to Miami. There are reports that David Beckham has held talks with Lionel Messi about ending his career at Inter Miami. They took place, of course, when little Lionel bought his Miami apartment, or apartments. He may have bought more than one, Jim, but you would if you could. Now, it's getting quite interesting into Miami. The co-owner, Jorge Mas, says, I'm optimistic Messi will play in an Inter Miami shirt because I think it will complete the legacy of the greatest player in our generation. You couldn't really go against that, especially when you look at the results.
Yeah.
Picking up a lot of trophies.
Yeah. It's weird, isn't it? I would say, in terms of, you know, Messi ending his career at Inter Miami, I reckon it will probably end before he steps on the field in an Inter Miami shirt.
Okay.
That would be safe to say.
Right.
And I think he might play like he retired before joining Inter Miami. He could release a statement. He doesn't have to join them. We'll know he's finished. It's fine.
Yeah.
What are they playing at? It's just, honestly, it's just bollocks about Messi or beautiful photos of David Beckham.
Yeah. They want Ronaldo too.
Yeah. Well, yeah, why not? Why not? Yeah.
Link them up.
Mm. Why don't you bring back the Beatles? Get the Ouija board out. Yeah.
Get the Ouija board and a hologram. Try everything.
Yes. Yeah.
Another win in the bag, though, chap.
Get Robert Kardashian to introduce him onto the field. Brilliant.
Excellent stuff. Well, there we are. I think that's summed that up quite nicely. On tomorrow's show, Kate, Vish, and Pete. How about that? Get your ears around that lot, everybody. Probably not any more Inter Miami chat tomorrow, so don't worry. There we are. Thank you very much, Jim Campbell.
Thank you.
Thank you, Vitush Nantarajan.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. Have a good one.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously,
man. Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
was good with them, you know. And then we're way around the duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.